Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's great to have you with us on the show today. It's kind of depressing for Matt. Because now it's only the Super Bowl this week. It's not the Pro Bowl.
Hey, I love the Super Bowl just as much, if not a little bit better than the Pro Bowl. So I'm all ready to go.
It's not in the land of the big mouse, my man.
That's true, but it's okay. Miami's nice.
But they don't have the big mouse.
This is true, but they have much better weather than it is in this part of the country.
There you go. All right. You know, it's now been established what your passion is in life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Passion is that you're going to take that young son of yours down this pathway toward something called Goofy. Does that bother you?
Not at all, actually. It might bother my wife, but it doesn't bother me.
But she's on my side on this.
She is.
She's enjoying the show more every day.
Definitely.
All right, we got a lot going on today. As always, I'm going to talk with Pat Chambers today, Zach Osterman today. We got a lot going on today. On the show, Zach, by the way, is with the Indianapolis Star. Talk about Penn State and Indiana. Big game. It'll be a big game tomorrow. Very big game tomorrow. Be for both teams. Indiana's 15-5. They had a great win last Thursday over Michigan State. Fell behind against Maryland. Had a great second half. Built a lead. Looks like they had it. They're up 8. At home. And to be honest with you, it's not one of those deals where Indiana committed 3 turnovers in a row and Maryland got run outs and just everything. Well, they just kind of ran what they were doing, and then they, you know, they missed a shot and there was a rebound and they hit a 3. Suddenly they looked up and they're down 1. Indiana is a very good team. The pace of the game is going to be aesthetically pleasing, I think. Now, of course, winning the game is far more aesthetically pleasing, obviously. But we'll talk more about that as time goes here. I have to give you one quick story that is an addendum to the tragedy in Southern California where Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and 7 others lost their lives. Among those who lost their lives, John Altobelli, baseball coach at Orange Coast College. Well, like many coaches, you know, to be honest with you, in the Cape Cod League, some of these guys are coaches for years and years and years and years. And he finally got into this thing a few years ago in the Cape Cod League. And so he's in it. And the and he, among the guys he coached Jeff McNeil of the Mets, Scott Kingery of the Phillies. All right, so there's a Phillies connection. And then there's this story. And I wanted to relate this story because I think people get a kick out of it. He's coaching the Brewster Whitecaps. And they go to Chatham and they play Chatham. And Chatham just goes out and just kicks the living daylights out of them. I mean, they just romp them. All right, so they go back to Brewster. And then the next game comes up and they lost again. And then Chatham goes up to play Brewster like two games later. So the manager of Chatham goes up to John Altobelli. And he says, geez, hey, John, you doing all right? You hanging in there? He says, you know, it's kind of been a rough stretch for you. And he looks at the, and John Altobelli looks at the Chatham manager and he points to the batting cage and he says, I'm getting better with every swing. The guy in the batting cage was the guy they just signed to play there, Aaron Judge. He said, I'm getting better with every swing. So John Altobelli coached some pretty good people in the Cape Cod League. Scott Kingery, McNeil, Aaron Judge. So there are losses here along multiple platforms. But I want to at least relate the story because it was a funny story. You know, it's like, this guy was just assigned here the other day. It's like watching Cotrillo take batting practice. You're in the parking lot. You just know it's Cotrillo.
Did you like watch me in high school or something?
Right.
Because my friends would tell you the same thing.
Right. You could tell it was Cotrillo in the batting cage. Are they bunting?
Hey, I was the small ball king when I played.
That's no offense. That's not a way to make a lot of money.
That's why I'm on this side of the aisle, so to speak.
So you're saying being on this show is a come down? Now you're discovering the problem the suit always had with the pro show. He said, you can take anything and turn it any way you want. I used to drive you nuts on this show. I'd say to him something like, aren't you going to pick Marco Andretti to win the race? No, I'm going to pick whatever. He says, I said, so you've turned on Marco Andretti? I said, does Mario know?
Your family could be listening down in Nazareth.
I can't stand you. I said, I stay with the local people. I'm picking Marco to win. Drive him nuts.
I did get a chance to watch Steve, real quick. I did get a chance to watch the replay of Kobe's last game last night on ESPN. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I saw it the first time. Actually, then I watched some of it last night, but I saw it the first time when he played. It was really remarkable.
I found myself jaw dropping when he hit that three to get himself to 56 points late in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I remember myself, I did this when I watched this 3 years ago. I mean, I actually thought it was really well done by ESPN last night.
No, they did a great job. Now, ESPN has done an excellent job all the way through with their coverage of this. All the way through. It was interesting because last night practice ended early, whatever, when the show was over. So I got home in time to watch. And I turned it on. The 6 o'clock news was on, and I don't mean locally. I'm talking like the national cable stuff. So it's on, and I'm like, I just sat there. I sat there in complete disbelief. Right? You know what all three of them led with? Impeachment.
Oh, geez.
I sat there and went, are you that out of touch with America? I mean, like tonight, if they leave with impeachment, that's fine. Okay? They can leave with that or the potential Middle East peace plan that was put out today by the president and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. All right? You know, I don't care what they leave with tonight. But last night, I mean, impeachment could have been the second story. Okay? Okay? I don't care whether you're in Southern California, New York. By the way, the Empire State Building was purple and gold last night. Philadelphia, which is obviously where he grew up, or Alabama, or Texas, or Missouri, or whatever. Right? People don't know him, but they know who he is. Right? They know who he is. And there are very few people in the world that when you just say their first name, you know who it is. Are you that out of touch? You got to get out of your own cocoon. I mean, and I'm not, you know, and this is not being one of those, well, Steve's in a sports cocoon. No. Okay, that's that. Believe me, I know what the lead stories are and things like that in news and what they should be and, you know, and what makes sense on a particular day. I mean, most times I sit there and go, okay, that makes sense, fine. All right. But it's 24 hours since something that has just shaken the core of a lot of people. Because the vast majority of people never were in the same room with him. But they know who he is. And it was a shocking death. Not, this is not like, for example, like Prince or Whitney Houston or Elvis or Michael Jackson, where it's, you know, shocking and a lead story, but also self-induced, as opposed to like, wow. And I watched that last night, and again, it doesn't matter if you spend 2 minutes on it, 60 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, five, whatever it may be. To the people watching last night, because of the shock of it, I think it's the first thing they wanted to know about. You know, do you know anymore? Do you have, you know, any information? How did it happen? You know. And they completely... I mean, yeah, it's in there, but you know, like, leave Washington. Leave Washington. Get it, like, actually go out into the countryside. Like, there's a big, wide range of America out there. Gigantic. Okay? That does not just reside in that square between Virginia and Maryland. Like, start with something people care about. And even the casual to less than casual fan knows who this is. Not only that, but the unfortunate part of having three young people pass away. And this hits the core of every parent. And I sat back and shook my head and I said, who's running these operations? I mean, that was to me as much of an out of touch news moment as I've seen in a long time. I mean, like, out of touch as to who people are and what they are thinking about. Now, I mean, that's one day. It's a Monday. Now, today, you know, let's face it, you know, other things have happened. You transition to something else. Do you want to transition to the closing argument made by the president's team? Do you want to transition to the proposed Middle East peace plan? I mean, you know, whatever. I understand now at this point, you know, because there is some distance and there really is nothing new to report on it. But on Monday, it was still fresh with everybody. And I just sat back and went, who's running these places? You've got to somehow get out of your own Friday night party deal with the people you hang with and have drinks with on a Friday night after a long, hard week of doing news and realize what, like, people across the country are thinking about, not just what you and your buddies are thinking about. I just sat back and just, it's just another example of bad judgment, in my opinion. just my, if you disagree with me, perfectly fine. I mean, you may say, because his passing was news. His passing was not a sports story. His passing was news, along with, obviously, the eight other people, which we talked about. And we talked about each one of them yesterday on the show. So we took time with each one of them yesterday. All right. Now, we will make our transitions, too. There's no word on what any services are going to be. The Super Bowl, I think, will be something that will be a great escape for a lot of people this weekend. But it's all going to come back to the forefront when there's a service of some sort. And it's all going to come back to the forefront during NBA All-Star Weekend, which is the weekend of the 8th, 9th, 10th in Chicago, where not only will it be brought back to the forefront, but they're going to announce, which they were going to anyway, that he's going into the Hall of Fame. All right. We will take a break. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Kona in stock starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45.71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. North Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Okay, welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. A lot going on, including the Super Bowl this week. Matt even says he's going to watch it, even though usually the Pro Bowl is the culmination of his football year.
I'm actually pretty obsessed with the Super Bowl, too, so I watched all of Media Night last night.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Oh, I love it.
Wow. What did you learn on Media Night? Now, I covered Media Day once, one time. One time, it was the Broncos-Seahawks Super Bowl in the Meadowlands when Seattle ran Denver out. So that one, I've got Peyton Manning, I've got Richard Sherman, Pete Carroll. And primarily I interviewed Jordan Hill and Michael Robinson. I interviewed them. And then I got to see Marshawn Lynch step onto the floor for 5 minutes, say nothing and leave. I remember I was standing with Michael Robinson at his cubicle when Lynch came out. And I looked at him, I said, Mike, he's not going to say anything, is he? He goes, oh, no. he says he stepped over there, he says, so he didn't get fined. Now, this is not the year he said, I'm only doing this to not be fined. This is the one where he just stepped out and said nothing. And Mike looked at me and he said, Steve, he's just there. He said, he doesn't want to be fined. I said, okay.
But I did learn George Kittle and Travis Kelce love each other very much. They praised each other highly last night.
Really cool. Great.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, let's get to something that has not been talked about by very few people this year, because it has not been quite the issue this year as we've seen in the past, compared to last year. That's the transfer portal. hasn't been brought up because Penn State, in terms of the number of names in the transfer portal, and there were reasons for it last year. As I pointed out several times, some of these guys that put their names in last year, unfortunately, for them in the recruiting process, got passed out by new recruits. Now, Penn State in the transfer portal, Justin Shorter, and he's going to go to Florida. Hunter Kelly is in the transfer portal. Austin Sullivan, long snapper, is in the transfer portal. And Daniel Joseph is. There are about 1,100 names in the transfer portal. 1,100. But you know what's interesting is and you know how I always say this, Matt. I always say that when something comes to pass, there is an initial rush, and then it settles down.
Exactly.
Hey, all 18-year-olds are eligible to play in the NBA. Rush. And that's how it happened the first time. Rush. And then all of a sudden, it started settling down. When the NBA, in its new collective bargaining agreement, which I think will be in 2 years, in all likelihood, they're going to allow 18-year-olds to be able to go straight from high school to the NBA. You're going to see a rush of individuals do that. And I think then 3-4 years, I mean, maybe as little as 3 years later, you're going to see the numbers dwindle. There'll be people doing it, but just not as many. It seems like whenever there's an initial feel of, for what, the lack of a better term, freedom, and they're like, all right, here we go, I'm going to take advantage of that. Okay. All right. This year, there are 1,100 names in the transfer portal. 1,100. Like, for example, Peyton Ramsey, the Indiana quarterback, put his name into the transfer portal. Right? The guy played against Penn State, was starting quarterback in the bowl game, but most people feel that Michael Penix is going to be the starting quarterback, which he was at Indiana. I mean, Jack Allison is leaving West Virginia. He's transferring. Jack Sears is transferring from USC. But see, and Chase Bryce from Clemson. Okay, now, why am I mentioning the quarterbacks? Because I think in the end, you know, De'Eric King has already announced what he's doing. You know, he's leaving Houston, for example. And he's the key guy, you know, that's transferring to Miami from Houston. But I'll be honest with you. I feel like this is becoming more and more. First of all, if you've been someplace and you haven't played much, I'll give you an example. Weston Bridges. Okay, Michigan State running back. How much tape is there of Weston Bridges playing at Michigan State? Not that much. Malik Carter of Pitt transferring. How much tape is there of him? There's some. But how much tape? True Wilson at Michigan's transferring, the running back. Some of these guys do not have a lot of tape, or the last significant tape they have happens to be high school. So you don't know what some of these guys, you know, how good they really are. You're kind of guessing at some point. I mean, Rutgers is trying to clean up any way they can in the transfer portal. And Greg Schiano was straightforward with the people at Rutgers that he felt that was a critical, there were a couple of critical pathways to getting Rutgers on track. One was using extensively the transfer portal. The other one was getting also junior college players. But you have to ask yourself with some of these guys, how much tape is there of these guys to give you an accurate read as to how good you think they are? And do some of them have to actually go back for significant video of their high school days to do that? I feel that when you look at the transfer portal, the primary beneficiary, more often than not, is the quarterback. I mean, people are looking for quarterbacks. I mean, that's how Michigan's been doing it over the years. When you look at the Heisman Trophy last year, who were the four guys invited to New York? Chase Young, Justin Fields, transfer. Okay. Joe Burrow, transfer. Jalen Hurts, transfer. Now, in each case, all three had something in common. All three were the backup quarterback. And there was really no pathway to get them to be a starter. Hurts was clearly beaten out by Tua Tagovailoa. Fields was not going to surpass Jake Fromm. And Joe Burrow was behind JT Barrett and was not going to pass him out, so he transferred to LSU. You feel like as the settling of the transfer portal, even though there are 1,100 names in here, you know, and that 1,100, by the way, includes FCS people, too. So it's not just FBS, 1,100 FBS names here. This is a combination of FBS and FCS in here. So it's that combo. But you feel like in how this has settled down, yeah, there's a key transfer here, a key transfer there that helps out. I mean, let's face it, Juwan Johnson, did he help Oregon when he was healthy? Yeah, he missed at least half the season. But when he was there, you could tell Herbert trusted him. And so he helped. But in terms of the impact program changer, how many impact program changes are in this, in the transfer portal? And again, it all goes back to the same thing, quarterbacks. And you might pick up a punter or a kicker someplace that can really help you out. Okay, fine. I got that. But it's going to be the quarterback. Is your program going to be, if you are devoid at the quarterback spot, is a guy like Peyton Ramsey going to help you? Yeah, I think he can. I think Chase Bryce can help you. But I think the quarterback spot is the Max Bortenschlager is leaving Maryland. I mean, he was buried fourth team, maybe third. Andrew Bunch at Nebraska, dual threat quarterback transferring. And I think that's what you're seeing, is that is where the primary beneficiary happened to be the quarterbacks. I think you can get some good players at other positions, but they're not going to be overwhelming players. They're not going to be overwhelming players, which I think is something that's significant. So it's interesting how that settled down. It settled down here at Penn State this year, I mean, dramatically, which I said last year was going to happen. And And that has happened. It is definitely settled down. I mean, every once in a while, by the way, a guy changes his mind, like Arthur Sitkowski. Sitkowski, I'm going to transfer. Well, and actually, he's decided to go back to Rutgers. Okay, so that happens sometimes. But you know, Jamie Newman to Georgia from Wake Forest. Okay. I mentioned D'Eriq King, for example. Most of those guys are still out there right now. It's the same story. As time goes, I always feel like these things settle down. And I think you'll see that. You'll see it'll settle down. And the 1,100, yeah, it's a big number right now. But again, ask yourself, why are a lot of these guys transferring? Well, a lot of them are transferring because they haven't been able to get any upward mobility in their current program. They're either behind somebody that they can't pass out, big problem, or they themselves have not been good enough to get any upward mobility, any traction. And that's on them. I always love when I hear people talk about, coaching and developing people. You know, you got to have players that, I mean, the player has to play a huge role in development. That's never brought, that hardly is ever brought up. The player has to play a huge role in development. And sometimes you're just in a case like, let's take Bradrick Shaw of Wisconsin. He couldn't get any upward traction. And then he got hurt. And you get hurt, you kind of fall behind a little bit. So he's in the transfer portal. He played against Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. Oh. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Kona in stock, starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45,71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
So what's your favorite ride at Disney?
That's a tough one.
I asked the really tough question.
You do. I would say Rock and Roller Coasters up there in Disney's Hollywood Studios, Tower of Terror in Hollywood Studios, and Test Track and Soarin' at Epcot. That's probably my top four.
Wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
Mine is the one labeled Exit. All right, so are the jokes this easy? I just want to know. See, I set you up. It's,
yeah, you did.
Boy. Patrick Chambers next half hour. We'll talk about Penn State and Indiana. Zach Osterman tomorrow, Indianapolis Star, and Neil Coulong tomorrow on the show. The King, by the way, is going to join us on Thursday, a rare Thursday appearance. As we get ready for the Super Bowl, which Matt is only semi-excited about because it's not the Pro Bowl. I mean, remember, the Pro Bowl included Xavier Rhodes.
Who was not MVP?
Wasn't even the MVP of his own secondary. And they're going to have the banquet for the Vikings. He's not winning any awards.
Hey, I'm just happy Fletcher Cox scored for the Eagles.
Yeah, great.
Two Steelers had some plays, too. Joe Hayden had a big interception in the fourth quarter, and then T.J. Watt had the game-clinching fumble return.
Yeah, sure. It's great. Ay, ay, ay. Well, each winner gets a check. You know, it's interesting. They looked at the first ever Super Bowl, and the winner, each person got $15,000. And the losing team, in this case, the Kansas City Chiefs, got $7,500 per person. I think now it's like $122,061 or something like that. And you get checks for each round of the playoffs. You win, you get another check. But for the Super Bowl, it's like $122,061. Believe it or not, for inflation, that's actually about where it should be. I saw a breakout on that. And I thought, wow, that's actually, I give them credit, they've actually kept up with inflation in terms of what the winner's share is versus the loser's share. Now, in the Pro Bowl, you also get a share for winning and losing. I don't know what the numbers are. But you, I don't think a lot of people realize there's a winner and a loser share. And I don't think a lot of people realize there's a winner and a loser share each round of the playoffs. You actually can get some decent coin by going all the way to the Super Bowl and winning it.
So the winning team from the Pro Bowl took home $70,000. Losing team got $35,000 per player.
Wow.
That was according to ESPN's Adam Schefter a couple days ago before they played the game.
Now, to these guys, you know, the veterans, for the veterans, that's tip change. Younger players, you're still in their first contract. Yeah, this doesn't hurt. I know you'd like $70,000 right now.
No question. And then the Super Bowl for, well, this is for last year, so it's probably going to be around the same for this year. Last year, winning players got $201,000. Losing team got $137,000.
What was that again? Say that again.
$201,000 per player.
For the playoffs.
And then $137,000 for playing in three postseason games for the winning and losing teams in the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Not bad at all. But you do get money each round. That's how it adds up to $201,000. And wow. They had a 7.7 earthquake in the Caribbean. There's a tsunami warning. Roads are cracked in the Caymans. And Miami felt it. Wow. 7.7 is, that is a huge earthquake. Wow. this would be, what, south of Cuba? And that would mean that the Cuba and the Yucatan Peninsula, where Cancun is, would probably have those tsunami warnings. Wow, that is 7.7. That is a big earthquake. Wow. How about that?